Money. This is your favorite sermon, isn't it? Isn't that right? Quite frankly, I'm surprised you came today, because many times when people know the money sermon is coming up, they stay away. And I'm glad you're here, because the Holy Spirit has brought you here for a reason and specific purpose, to hear the Word of God. And somebody said to me today, they said, "Aren't you afraid to preach on this day?" And I said, "No, really not. Because it's not me. What I'm going to be teaching you today isn't me. It's the what? Word of God, right? It's Scripture." So we're going to be going through Scripture today to look at this problem that we have with money. And I call it the, it's up on the screen, what? The eye problem. The eye problem. I remember years ago, I talked to a very successful businessman. And I said, "Boy, the Lord has really blessed you." Now, I need to tell you that he was a nominal Christian at best. Wasn't a strong believer like many of you are here today. And so I said, "The Lord has really blessed you in your business." And he said, "Tell you what, Pastor Dave, I didn't see the Lord get the education. I didn't see the Lord make the sacrifices. I didn't see the Lord take the risks. I didn't see the Lord working 12, 14 hours a day to build this business. I didn't see the Lord hiring the people. I didn't see the Lord training the people. I didn't see the Lord come to the counter for my business. Really, the Lord, listen to this, really the Lord had nothing to do with it." That guy needs to hear this sermon today, huh? I want to tell you, when Satan has his way with me, I struggle with the eye problem as well. I mean, I live in a beautiful home. Some of you know that. You guys do too, many of you. I drive a nice car. I live in a nice neighborhood. I live in what I think is the most glorious place on the planet, Colorado itself. I look at all that I have in my life, the material blessings that God has given me, and some people in our congregation have even told me, "You deserve that, Pastor Dave. You work hard." And when Satan has his way with me, I say to myself, "Yeah, I do. I do work hard. I have put in a lot of time. I did get the education. I did make the sacrifices. I deserve this." I struggle with the eye problem too when Satan has his way with me. Lest you guys are ready to throw me under the bus for what I just told you, you struggle with the eye problem too. Sometimes you look at what you have and the gifts that God has given you, and instead of giving all credit and praise and honor and glory to him, you say, "I deserve this. I've worked hard for this. I'm reaping what I've sown." At times you might say, "You know what? I'm going to build up a lot of wealth for my retirement," and you talk about it and you plan about it and you think about it and you leave God completely out of the picture. Sometimes you might look at the possessions you have and you say, "This is my car, this is my house, this is my occupation, this is my wife, these are my kids, this is my life," as if it all depended on you. And at times, some of you are unwilling to give sacrificially and generously to the Lord because you're afraid that there won't be enough for you. Right? I'm not going to ask for an amen, because many of you wouldn't want to give it right now. But what I'm telling you is true. We struggle with the eye problem. We think so much of what we have is all because of us. And we leave God so many times completely out of the picture. How do you fix this eye problem? How does it get remedied? And how can we learn from the Holy Scriptures today to truly fix this thing called the eye problem? Here's the deal. The Israelites struggled with the eye problem too. They were in this horrible place. I shouldn't say that because hopefully none of you are from Egypt, but I've been to Egypt and they were there for 430 years. And this is what I was there. This is what it looks like. Okay. And God told them he was going to take them out of that place, give them a deliverer, a guy by the name of Charlton Heston, right? No, who? Moses. Moses was going to take them out of this God-forsaken place, literally, and take them to a land flowing with milk and honey. Israel, a gorgeous place, comparatively speaking. Looks a lot like northern Colorado. It is beautiful. There's no Rocky Mountains around it, but it's gorgeous. And all the things that are talked about in the scripture we're going to look at today, it has. Pomegranates and beautiful trees and a land flowing with milk and honey and cows all over the place. It is gorgeous. And so here was the deal with the Israelites. When they got there, listen to this, when they got there, they said it's all because of us. Look at what we've done. Look at what we've accumulated. Look at how successful we are. If they were athletes and they just scored a touchdown, they would have been doing one of these. Do you do that? I do. Sometimes. How did God fix the eye problem? I encourage you to get out, and please do so. Get out your pew Bible, turn to page 194, go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we're going to go through this text real fast, scripture by scripture, verse by verse, to see how God's people needed to have the eye problem fixed. Now remember, the Israelites had been taken from the clutches of Pharaoh, led to the promised land, but before they got there, they wandered around for how long? 40 years, yeah. Finally, they get there. They give themselves a credit. God can look into their hearts to see that they have an eye problem, that it's all because of them. And God is giving them not such a subtle reminder, but a pretty straightforward, in-your-face reminder of who the blesser of all good gifts really is. We pick it up at verse 11. Take care. This is the Lord speaking to the Israelites. Verse 11, page 194. Deuteronomy chapter 8, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. What's God telling him? When you have all this material stuff, when you get blessing after blessing after blessing, you're forgetting who gave it. Israelites, you have an eye problem. And I want to fix it. Verse 15. Who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, that's what Moses did, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do good in the land. Beware lest you say, listen to this, guys, this is huge. If it was your own Bible, I'd tell you to underline this, verse 17. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. Does that sound like us? Verse 18. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is to this day. Did you hear that? God was saying, it's I who have given you the power to gain the wealth that you've accumulated. I've given you the opportunity. I've taken you to a land flowing with milk and honey. You used to be in Egypt. You couldn't grow stuff there. You were under tyranny and bondage. You were under slavery. Now I've given you the intelligence, the experience, the opportunity, the wealth. I have done it all. And that's what God is teaching us today. That everything we have, and we understand this, and I talk about this a lot, that everything we have comes from God. That He is the owner of all, and we are simply managing these resources to His glory and to His honor. And so what fixes the eye problem today for us? It's basically two things, and I'd encourage you to write them down. Number one, God's grace. God's grace fixes the eye problem. You see, at one time we were in bondage. At one time we were under slavery, the slavery of the fear of death, the bondage of the shame and guilt of sin, the clutches of Satan, the fear of death, the antagonizing temptations of the evil one. But Jesus Christ has come and He has set us free. He's carried our sins all the way to the cross, and He died for them there. He died for our selfishness. He died for our eye problem. He died for our misconception that we are the owner of all. He died for our lack of trust in giving to Him sacrificially and generously. And not only that, He's promised to give us the promised land, eternal life in heaven with Him someday. And until then, He feeds us with the manna of His word and His sacrament. He gives us His body and blood in the bread and wine of Holy Communion to strengthen our faith, to nurture our souls, and to give us forgiveness and the promise of eternal life. And not only that, every time we fail and we fall short of His glory, God gives us aboundingly, never-endingly, His grace, His provision, His love, His forgiveness, His pardon, and that is what changes. The eye problem. We have been set free. We have been rescued and delivered from the clutches of Satan and from the shame and guilt of sin, and elevated to this glorious status of being called a child of God, an heir of heaven, a recipient of His grace, bound and destined for glory. The promised land is coming, and God is reminding us today just how great, just how awesome He is in giving us all these gifts. And you know what that does? All of that changes our perspective. I said there's two things that fix the eye problem. Number one, God's grace, which I just briefly shared with you today. That changes us. When we understand that we're given the gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, that it's freely given, that it's not earned, deserved, merited, or worked for, that God bestows His grace upon us and showers His blessings upon us, all because He loves us so incredibly much. That changes us. But also, here's what changes us, a new perspective that God gives us based on His word. What the word has taught us today is that we are the owners of nothing. Did you hear that? What are we the owners of? Nothing. But we're the managers of everything that God gives us. And if we understand that, we understand this principle. Would you read it with me? Not I, but Thy. Not me, but Thee. Not mine, but Thine. Some of you still don't get that. You're going to walk out of this place and you're going to still say, I'll give the Lord the leftovers of what He gives me instead of the first fruits. You see, when we really get a grip on this principle, it's a stewardship principle 101, not I but Thy, not me but Thee, not mine but Thine. When we understand that, as the Lord is teaching us today in Deuteronomy chapter 8, what happens? We become generous in our giving. We become generous in our giving. We realize it's not ours, but it's God's anyway. and we give a sacrificial amount. Some of you might be saying or thinking yourself, you know what, Pastor Dave, I am so far in debt. I cannot be generous. I want to tell you, we're going to be doing something next fall that is really, really exciting. It's called Financial Peace University, and our whole congregation is going to be taught Christian financial stewardship principles through Dave Ramsey's course called Financial Peace University. For those of you who are in debt and feel like you want to be generous, but you can't be, we'll teach you, we'll help you. And I'm going to say this right off. I challenge everybody here today to tithe. But if you're not there, that means 10% of your take-home income. But if you're not there, start at 3%, then move it to 5%, then move it to 7%. And it doesn't just have to be to our church. You can give 5% to our church, 2% to this, whatever it is. It all goes back to God in various ministries. It really doesn't matter. But you see, when you put God to the test, as Malachi chapter 3 challenges us to do so, when we put God to the test, it's amazing how he provides. And some of you might be saying, I simply can't do that. We're too far in debt. I have car payments and school payments and house payment and so forth and whatnot. We'll help you next fall. Make sure you sign up through Financial Peace University. But until then, start a certain level of giving to see that generosity start to increase. Because you understand that God is the giver of all good gifts. And all the treasures we have in our life really aren't ours, but his. And we're just managing it for his glory. So be generous. And secondly, be sacrificial. What does it mean to give sacrificially? It means that you're giving up something so that you might give to the Lord. That you're giving up something that's really valuable to you. One person told me recently, you know what, Pastor Dave, in order that I might tithe to the Lord, I'm going to give up Starbucks in my life. Wow! That's quite a commitment. Listen to this. One person said, you know what, we realized that we were in a house way too expensive for us. This was years ago, they told me this. And we couldn't tithe. We heard those tithing sermons that you gave us, Pastor Dave, and we simply couldn't do it. Because we bought a house that we really couldn't afford. So you know what they did? They moved. They downsized. That was the sacrifice they made in order to tithe. Sometimes people say, well, what does that mean to give sacrificially? Whatever you're giving to the Lord, whatever it is, think about what you could do with that money. And that's the sacrifice. I'll tell you what mine is. I've always had a dream, and it's just a dream, and it'll never come to fruition. And that's okay. But I've had a dream of having mountain property someday. That'll never happen. Why? Because we tithe. That's our sacrifice. So what the Lord is teaching us today is to give generously and to give sacrificially, knowing indeed that he's the one who bestows it. And then finally, not only give generously, not only give sacrificially, but give with a thankful heart. The Bible says clearly, God loves a grumpy giver. No, what's it say? God loves a what? And I showed this video about a year ago, writing out my tithe check, and I pretended like it was so painful. When you write out your giving to the Lord, whatever ministry it is it painful? Or do you do it with gladness because you realize it's not yours? You're just giving back to God what he first gave you, amen? And you do it with a cheerful heart, and you say, God, you've been so good to me. And here's the thing. I could run up here 15, 20, 25 people who say, I give sacrificially, I give generously, I give a tithe to the Lord, and then some. And they would be the first to say, and I'm looking at some right now, they would be the first to say, and I don't miss it. You see why I love this sermon, really? Because this is the Word, man. It's not me. And God is challenging us today to say, put him first. And we've talked about the grace of God. That really is a starting point. when we understand that our life is not our own, that our soul is not our own, that eternal life was not earned, that forgiveness was not earned, that God paid it all through his Son, that Jesus sacrificed his life for us, that Jesus rose from the dead, that Jesus comes into our hearts and he makes us new. When we get that, when we understand it, it is not hard, it is not difficult, it isn't even a challenge to be generous or sacrificial or thankful. It just comes freely and generously because of God's grace and the understanding, the principle 101 of stewardship, not I but thy, not me but thee, not mine but thine. When I was in, when we were in Israel, and you guys know this, I mean, some of you have been overseas. We live in the greatest place on the planet. I'm not talking about Colorado. I'm talking about the United States. And our tour guide, Doron, who is I believe he's a Jewish Christian, he said, and he gave us a tour of the Holy Land, and man, he knows his stuff. He knows more about the Bible than I do, or I think Pastor Tim. I mean, the guy is just a walking biblical encyclopedia. But he told us this, you're going to see the Holy Land here, but the United States is the promised land. And he's right. We are so blessed. We have so much. We live as average monetary folks here in the United States. We live, listen to this, better than 99% of the people on planet Earth. And yet we have an eye problem. Let God change your heart today. God's grace has touched you. God's grace has made you new. And because our perspective changes, not I but thy, not me but thee, not mine but thine, because our perspective has been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be generous. We can be sacrificial. We can be thankful. Why? Because the eye problem has been fixed by Almighty God through his death, through his resurrection, and through the new life he gives us each and every day. Amen?